Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Since Bethlehem, back in the days of our Lord, was a very small town, historians guess that the number of the holy innocents might have been around 50 or thereabouts, but it's a guess, a historical guess based on what a town like that might have been like, how many children might have been under the age of two and under in Bethlehem at that time. These children, whatever their number, nevertheless gave their lives for Christ. There is something very special about their death. It is a tragic death, but there is something special about their death. They died for Christ. They died out of hatred for our Lord. And they received what we call a baptism of blood, which gives them freedom from original sin and entrance into heaven. They are the holy innocents. They are saints in heaven today. Now, this can be associated with the state of other children who, before the use of reason, do not receive the grace of baptism, neither water nor blood nor desire. And the question for a priest, frequently asked of priests, is what happens to children who, before the use of reason, die in the condition of original sin, seemingly with no access to baptism of any sort, neither water, nor blood, nor desire? A very difficult question, difficult because painful, difficult also because God has not clearly revealed the answer to us. This state of things shouldn't exist. Children, before the use of reason, should not die without baptism. We are in this situation because of both original sin, so that disorder introduced into the world because of the sin of primarily Adam and then also with Eve, and also personal sin. So let's think of abortion, a violent death for so many children in a womb, killed not out of hatred for Christ, but out of other inferior, lesser, very selfish, although still painful motives. So priests, we are frequently asked this question, and let's just be very clear about what the question is. The question is simply, again, do children who die without baptism, do they see God face to face, or do they enjoy rather a lesser state of happiness? A state of happiness nevertheless because they are not punished. They certainly do not go to hell. That's not part of the question. But rather we can say, what is their degree of happiness? Do they see God face to face, which is the maximum happiness that a human being can enjoy in eternity? Or because they are without baptism, are they deprived of that vision of God face to face and enjoy a lesser happiness? That is really the question. And it's a question because, repeating myself again, we are talking about the doctrine that God has revealed, so as to speculate about what God hasn't directly revealed. The doctrine is that we are conceived and born in original sin. And the Catechism, Catholic doctrine, is very clear about that. We are in this sad condition that we inherit from Adam and Eve, original sin. And it is also doctrine of the Church that stained with original sin, we cannot enter into heaven. We cannot see God face to face. And the Catechism says that in giving an answer to this question, so what happens to such infants? The Church does not know of any means other than baptism that assures entry into eternal beatitude. That's paragraph 1257. And yet these little ones, again, they cannot receive the baptism of water nor blood, unless they do die as martyrs, but sadly, they simply factually do not, nor desire, because the desire has to be personal. And we know that before the use of reason, we cannot make responsible actions. An infant is not responsible for his or her actions. Does not distinguish good from evil. And that's the desire that we speak of. Knowingly and willingly choosing to do good because we know it's good. That is a baptism of desire. Living our life according to the moral parameters that we know, despite not knowing all the moral parameters. That's baptism of desire. It has to be a personal desire. Nobody can supply that desire for us. So the Catechism says, well, as regards children who have died without baptism, the Church can only entrust them to the mercy of God. And all the more urgently does the Church call not to prevent little children from coming to Christ through the gift of holy baptism. Why? Because again, the only certainty that we can have of entrance into beatitude is baptism. Without baptism, all the church can do is entrust such children to the mercy of God. Because again, theologically speaking, we have two options, just to be simple and brief. Is there salvation, meaning entrance into heaven, entrance into the beatific vision? Is there entrance into the beatific vision for children who die without baptism? We can say there is a way. God has not revealed it to us, but we can theologically try to speculate about what that way could be. It's not revealed by God. We don't have any, let's say, proof of it, but we can give theological reasons for the existence of such a way. The other option is there is no way, but there is an intermediate state. God has not revealed this intermediate state, but theologically there are reasons to postulate this intermediate state, which gets that funny name, limbo. It's that place of natural happiness, a happiness greater than earthly happiness. It's not a punishment, but rather a state of freedom from suffering called limbo. And again, God is not revealed either, but we can theologically speculate on one side or the other. To be fair in presenting theology here, certainly the thesis of limbo is by far the stronger one in the church as far as the thought of the fathers, theologians, doctors, and saints. Certainly the preponderance of the evidence is in that direction, although again, it's not totally conclusive, but there are saints on both sides. Saint Maximilian, for example, thought there is a way, even though God has not revealed it to us. Most other saints thought there is no way, and there's this intermediate state, even though God has not revealed it to us. Practical takeaways from this. Things that we can say with certainty. One, sin, whether personal or original, is never the will of God, and it puts us in a state of confusion, ignorance, anxiety, uncertainty. And this is an example. We should not be in this situation. Adam and Eve should not have sinned, particularly Adam, the man, the protector of the family and of children, should not have sinned. Had Adam not sinned, had he done his job as a man, we would not be asking this question today. We would not be ignorant. We would not be in anxiety. We would not be in this state of worry. When men sin, that's what happens to families. Families are put in a situation of anxiety, turmoil, distress, and concern. So don't sin, especially men. Do not sin. It causes havoc in your life and in the lives of society, of all of society, especially family life. Two, we should end abortion, and all the more urgently should we work for the end of abortion. Sometimes there's a false consolation that people, I mean, you know, psychologically it's understandable. People want to console themselves by, in the midst of really a slaughter of countless innocent children in the womb, we want to console ourselves and tell ourselves, well, they all go to heaven. Well, the sad thing is, we don't have that certainty. Abortion is a horrendous tragedy. It deprives children not only of earthly life, but of the only certain means we know of to give them entrance into the vision of God their Father face to face. End abortion causing contraception. Three, baptize infants ASAP. That's the law of the church, the exhortation of the church, the catechism again. All the more urgent is the church's call not to prevent little children coming to Christ through the gift of holy baptism, especially in emergency situations, especially in situations of life and death, when there's the slightest hope of giving the grace of baptism to a child, it must be done. And four, most importantly, trust in God. Trust in his mercy, trust in his love. That is the most important thing to take away. Whenever we're in a state of anxiety, worry, concern, confusion, all the more we should just trust in God, cast all our cares on the Lord, and he will take care of us. His love, his mercy, his justice is far greater than ours. So in the end, again, it's that act of trust and faith in him that we have to make, especially in these circumstances, and especially when trying to answer this very difficult question. Praised be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.